September, can you believe second week of September, we actually started in the book of Romans, and here we are still in the book of Romans. We've come through the doctrinal portions and have seen the importance of right understanding of who God is, who we are, what God has done for us. We see the power in the theology of Paul, in the gospel of Christ, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And that we need not be, nor should we be, ashamed of that gospel, for it's the power of God to bring people into right relationship with Him, and therein is a righteousness, God's righteousness revealed. God, who loved us, provided for us through His Son. We've looked at the practical truths, that we wrestle against the flesh, and sometimes it wins. I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. And the crying out, who will save me so I can live a godly life? And the answer, Jesus Christ has done that, and He's done it through the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit to give me the victory. If I'm not living the Christian life, it's because I'm not yielded to the Spirit, and I need to yield to His power, His influence. We saw that through the Holy Spirit, we've been baptized into Christ, so in the eyes of God, He sees His righteousness lived out in my life. We can see that the Holy Spirit who indwells also encourages in a godly walk. Well, that was the doctrinal. And again, we need a strong foundation as to what we believe and how we stand in Christ. Now Paul moves to the practical. He is an apostle to the church to help us understand some practical truths of things that we should and can be doing as a church. So these are practical teachings of life. We're going to look in a couple weeks at the fact that we should be that expression of love one to another, that expression of love of Christ. He began the practical section by saying that he was strongly commanding us, encouraging us, much as a general before going into battle would with his soldiers, encourage us to present our bodies to Christ. My eyes, my ears, the things I say, the things I do, the places I go. Giving them as an act of spiritual worship to God. We have worship of song. We have worship of words where we affirm God verbally. This is a worship of actions where I begin to allow the Spirit to live out the life He's placed in me. I beseech you that you present your bodies. Living sacrifice. Isn't it neat? This is not a sin offering that I'm offering. I'm not giving God my body because I have to, that I might be saved. I'm already saved. This is an act of spiritual worship that is a gift that I freely give because I can now, because of my new position in Christ. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then it talks about the renewing, the transforming of our minds, that we must have time in God's Word. We must know what God's Word says if we're to live out Christ, that we must spend time. And with that, we can have the victory and the spiritual worship. He quickly changes and moves now into another area, and it's related to the local church. It's true also of Church Universal, and there are some ministries, such as we have at Community House, where they are an arm of the local church to reach into community to help, and we participate with them. But primarily what Paul is talking about now relates to the local church. It's speaking to Calvary Community Church. First service, second service, youth, children's programs and that, and how we need to function in regards to ministering to each other's needs and that. Turn with me, Romans 12, and we'll look at verses 3 through 8. Though we won't make it all the way through 8 today, we'll still read it. For by the grace, the loving kindness of God given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's really important to see. Each member belongs to each other. Cain would say, am I my brother's keeper? You mean I'm accountable for all the people in this church, their wellness, the watching over them, the serving them? We are accountable to and for each other. We need to care for. I appreciate the wonderful things that are happening through some of our men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies, the home fellowships, where you are connecting with one another so that you can hold each other accountable before the Lord. The fact that we can find those that we can be honest with, that we can share our hurts, our concerns, and know that they will pray. They won't use it as a weapon against us. They simply will use it as a means to know how to better serve and encourage in that. We belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. He is encompassing all the spiritual gifts under seven different headings, but therein is every gift that God gives to his church. And notice that in all of them, there are things that we do for one another. A spiritual gift is not anything I use for myself. Now, there's benefits that come from it. But my spiritual gift can't be used for me. It has to be used for you, to encourage you, or to provide the financial foundations for the church to meet, or to encourage one another, to be that person that goes out. That gift is my gift of the Spirit to share with you. But notice that I don't have all the gifts to use all the time. I have a gift that he has given for me to use for the church, and he's given you one. And when we're all functioning together, the church is meeting the needs of the whole and its community. What's interesting, though, as I was at seminary learning, and then Ministers Association here, and talking with Matt and the things that are going on in his church, we've heard over and over and shared the statement that 80% of what's done in the church is done by 20% of the people. That's a standard. No one questions that. 80% of what's done is done by 20% of the people. That's why there's a lot of people on burnout and worn out. Very interesting, if this be true, and it seems to be true, that we are neglecting and not finding the strength to do the things that God has called us to do. We are not able to even begin to find the strength that comes from ministering to each other. If that be true also, that means 80% of the people aren't doing the things that God has gifted them to do. Just imagine if 100% of the people allowed the Holy Spirit to use them in their giftedness. What a change to the local community, the church, and the extended community by way of service. A lighthouse that is truly outreaching. I look at Calvary, and my hope and prayer is that we would grow not just for number's sake and not just by taking people from other churches, but would grow by bringing people to an understanding and knowledge of Christ so that they are one, and then we can build them up to him, one to him, and built up. And that we would be a church that is always out looking into community for those believers that have drifted away. They're not going to any church. They're believers, but they are like that cold coal that falls out of the fire. They're sitting there all alone, and we're leaving them there. If we are so spinning our wheels with the few and not all participating, we're missing the opportunity that Calvary has to change not only its community here as we gather, but the community outside and even the world. Paul begins by saying, "For by the grace given me," and the term charis, grace there, is the loving kindness of God. Paul is saying God has done something unbelievably lovingly kind to me by giving me a gift. It's the gift of apostleship. Now, apostles were to speak truth firmly and without reservation as to the theological foundation. They wanted to make sure that the church was built on proper understanding of doctrine and teachings concerning God. But they also wanted to make sure that their practices were in line. And so Paul is speaking to these folks he's never met. And he's saying, by this loving kind gift, I want to say something to you. And so he's preparing us. Anytime somebody tells you how that they've been received a loving gift and it's giving them the authority and the right to say something, watch out, because they're going to say something pretty powerful. Maybe even directed. And so it is, he says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. Aren't you glad we don't have the apostles today? Man, speaking all kinds of friendly words like that. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given. He's saying, be very careful that you, first of all, don't see yourself as unneeding the participation within the church. I can do it myself. I'll come to church and I'll get motivation, but most of the time I'll just live it by myself. What he's saying is that none of us can stand by ourselves throughout the living of our life. We need each other. There are times when I need you in my life. And I need you in your giftedness to speak into my life. You need me at times. We belong to each other and need each other. Too often it's easy for us to become so captivated with the ideas of life and what's important to us that we overlook the value and that of what Christ and God has for us. We determine to live life simply for the things that we feel are important rather than what he sees as important. And we feel like we can do it pretty much alone. He also says that we need to be very careful to look at things soberly, to analyze that when we talk about spiritual gifts, and spiritual gifts are given to all of those who receive Christ. So first we might need to identify. If you have received Christ as your personal Savior, repented of your sins, been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, you stand in his righteousness. This is the latter part of 7 and 8 of Romans. If you are in that position, and if the Holy Spirit indwells you, God has chosen to give you a spiritual gift that is for you to use in his church. If you are a believer, you have a gift to use and an accountability to use it for him. Lots of times we're so busy in life, we stop to realize that God has a purpose for me, and it's related to caring for his church. And we must realize that we all have a responsibility to live out that gift. Now, we'll look at those gifts in a little bit, and you can see what you identify with. Actually, not today, but in the coming week. But I want us to see, again, that I need you, and you need me, and that we have all been given a gift that is not by way of natural gifting, but by spiritual gifting. It's something that I might never have chosen to do on my own because I don't see the natural gifting. Some people find it hard to believe that when God called me into ministry, I was the shyest person in the world. I didn't want to look you in the eye, didn't want to get up in front of you. One of the most excruciating experiences was in high school when I had to go to speech class. And I had to give a huge 2-minute speech. and I broke out in a cold sweat the night before. I pondered and worked over that. I did not really feel comfortable getting in front of people. And actually, I didn't like it. And the reaching out, I'd rather just live my life by myself. And then God called me into ministry, and I actually had to say, you've got to be kidding. But you see, it wasn't my natural ability to be open and friendly and talking to people. I actually developed the people styles probably later with ministry. It was a spiritual gift, though, that God said, it's in your weakness, it's not in your DNA, so I will give you the ability. Because I've called you, I will equip you. And I can say that if anything good comes out of my ministry, it's simply because of the power of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with me. If left to myself without the power of the Spirit, we would all be in deeper trouble than we might be now. We need to realize that God will gift us in areas that He will call us to. But when He talks about sober judgment, He's saying that we need to take seriously the reality that we all have spiritual gifts that are, and we are all responsible for using them within the church. Church isn't just a thing I come to. It's not just a social club that I join. Church is an organism, a body that functions and needs all of the parts functioning, not just some. We need also in that soberness of judgment to look at the reality that someday we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and cast our crowns, lay them at the feet of Christ. What is that day when we cast the crowns? Judgment seat of Christ. This is not a day as to whether we made it into heaven or not. We're already there. This is the one time in the eternality of our life after coming to right relationship with Christ that we will be able to worship God by our actions, by the crowns, by the rewards that we have. I believe they're tangible. I believe they're real. And I believe in that day we will be able to take all of that remains, that gold, silver, the precious stones, and take it to Jesus and lay it at His feet and say, it was through your Spirit you gifted me, it was through your Spirit that this was accomplished. But thank you for using me in these ways. And here is just my affirmation of my appreciation. Paul would say in regards to the judgment seat of Christ that whatever works that we accomplish through His Spirit, especially in the area of gifting, will result in those treasures we lay at the feet. But he would go on and say, some will have spent their whole lives serving really themselves, doing nothing with their gift, serving the church in no way. And they will be there. Their works will be burned as by fire, but they'll have nothing to lay at the feet of Christ. I thought when we went to heaven that there wasn't any crying. I read that He'll wipe away each tear. I believe that there will be at that moment of celebration when others are celebrating what God has done through them, through their yieldedness and their faithfulness with what He has given to them. Some that will still be loved of the Father and the Son, but will have nothing to offer because they really live their lives just for themselves. Paul would speak of the gifting that we have as a grace gift, loving kindness of God. He wants us to find the joy of serving each other. It's a loving kindness. But if we don't serve others with our giftedness, we miss out on that joy in this life. And we will miss out at that judgment seat of Christ of laying something before His feet. If we take the mathematics, be it true or exaggerated, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work at church, that means 80% of the people will have very little to lay at Christ's feet. Might have had great wealth on this earth, might have personally become very satisfied with the things that they have. But those days are over now. in the light of Christ have nothing to present. For they live totally for self, and they did not realize, nor did they seek after a spiritual gift to use in his church on behalf of others. That will be a very sobering day. I would like to believe that we at Calvary will so understand spiritual gifts and begin to live out our gift that there is not a single need left unmet. That each of us would realize that there is something that the Father wants us to do, and he has gifted us through the Holy Spirit to do it. But it takes our choice and our effort to refocus on the reality that if we are all living, no one is burnt out, and all are doing what's necessary to bring about a tremendous change in our church, in our city, in our community, within the world. I believe that Calvary could be filled several times over, that two services would not be enough if we were all living out our gifts. I want it to be a day when we stand before Christ and we go, Calvary, it's time to lay your gifts before the Lord. And we all have something to lay at his feet because we were faithful with what he's given. But according to statistics, that's not true. But it can be true. And so it is as we go through the gifting process. I want you to look not for your natural gift, but for the gift that the Spirit's given you. You may be an encourager, that when people at the church need some encouraging word, you will say the right words to encourage their heart. You may be a teacher that teaches little kids, older kids, adult kids. You may be a server that actually finds joy in serving the church, whether it's doing things around the church, whether it's serving people, going to their homes, the ones that need a meal, and you serve them through that meal. Well, look at the gifts, but I do know this one thing. You do have a gift, which is a spiritual gift, that is, when applied and used, will meter out to those things of gold and silver we will lay at his feet. How tragic to have enjoyed all the wonders of this life, all the prosperity, all the things that God has, and to stand that day empty-handed. I am finding, because I am getting old, I know it because my kids are getting old, that this life has gone way too fast. I want to hit rewind. I want to go back and do it all over again, this time right. I don't want to go back with the same limited knowledge I had. I want to go back to my teen years and realize I didn't have to chill. I should have chilled out more and worried less. But we can't go back. We can only go forward. We have all eternity ahead of us. But beloved, this life is going way too fast. Soon it will be over. And the old statement of the song, and only the things done for God will last. Are we living for eternity or are we living for today? Living out our spiritual gift is a good litmus test of whether I'm really looking to things in eternity ahead or whether I'm only looking upon the temporal. May we be faithful to discover that gift, to begin to use it within the church, and to see the power of God's Spirit when unleashed through gifted people that will impact positively not only the unity and the faithfulness of this church, but will reach out into the city, into the community, into the world as we accomplish His will. We can do it, but we must choose to be faithful to that which He has given to us, that spiritual gift, that spiritual calling and enablement that come from the Spirit. May we be about our Father's business by allowing the Spirit to use us in the area of giftedness as we minister in our unique ways, special ways, to each other and find that peace and joy and power that comes from combined commitment to Christ. Let's pray. Father, be with us. You have gifted us. There is nowhere in your word where you have ever said that you selected only a few to receive a spiritual gift of ministry to a local church. You have said, opposite to that, that you have given us all a chance to serve you by serving your church in the areas of our giftedness. Let us be individually and then corporately together that church, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.